Welcome again tonight. Please turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. You're probably thinking, we just finished with Galatians. Well, I want to return there tonight. A month ago, we considered Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. It says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." This verse sort of encourages us not to get tired of doing right, we said, but to just keep on, to persevere, we would say. Persevere means to persist in a state, enterprise, or undertaking in spite of counter-influences, oppositions, and discouragements. That's what I want to say tonight. Don't quit. Stick it out. Keep on keeping on. That's what we need to do. And the promise to this verse in Galatians 6 and verse 9 was that if we would persevere, that there would be a harvest of the good seed that we've sown. And I just want to remind us of that tonight. I want us to go back to chapter 5, though, and we're going to look at the first 10 verses of chapter 5 once again tonight. I know that we just did it recently, but kind of a different perspective, if you will, a different truth that's cemented right there in the Scriptures, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Quitting forfeits the blessing that could be ours. Quitting forfeits a lot of blessings upon our life, both now and in eternity. The records for the shortest Major League Baseball player or baseball career probably belongs to a member of the old Brooklyn Dodgers. His name was Harry Hartman. And years ago, he was as gifted as a young ball player. He was invited to move out of the minor leagues and to pitch against the Pittsburgh Pirates. It was sort of a moment that he dreamed of, you might imagine. And he was excited to be there, pitch the first inning, and immediately his dreams started to sort of fade away. His first pitch was a hit for a single. The next batter tripled. He was sort of rattled, and he walked the next batter, and then the fourth was tripled as well. He walked the fifth man on four straight pitches, and when he threw a strike to the next batter, it was a single too. So everybody was either walked or singled or tripled. At that point, Hartman said, "Oh well." He walked off of the mound and headed for the showers. He dressed and walked out of the stadium and right over to the Naval Recruiting Office, and he enlisted. The next day, he was in a military uniform, and he was headed for a new career and never heard from again in professional baseball. The world would say Harry Hartman missed his opportunity because he quit. Now, whether achieving professional status in baseball is something to be sought after, if that can be defined as great, I don't know about that necessarily. But persevering in our faith, persevering in our obedience to the Word of God, that always pays high dividends, doesn't it? That's always worthwhile. There are a lot of biblical examples in the Scriptures. I was thinking of Joseph, hated by his brothers. He was thrown into a pit, sold into slavery. He was then cast into Pharaoh's prison. And all of that, he continued to be faithful. And you read the story and you marvel at his faithfulness, his hope in God. And eventually he was second in command in Egypt. God had a plan for that young man, but he didn't quit. He didn't quit his faith, okay? And that's what we're talking about. He didn't quit his faith. He didn't slack up. I say to you, Corinth Baptist Church family, I want us to return tonight to chapter 5 so that I can say exactly that. Don't quit. Don't quit. Chapter 5 and verse 1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty with which Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Now, I'm not going to ignore the context. We're going to talk about the context. But I want to use these words and how they're applied to the context and apply the same words to other things that would be fitting. It's definitely an implication of these verses. And so I hope that will be all right as you listen. You'll hear the context and then my application, if you will, to where we are today. We're not worried about the same things they were in Paul's day, and we're not tempted by the same things. So we'll apply the same principles to our lives today. In our study of the book of Galatians, we summarized the previous verses before chapter 5 and verse 1. We summarized them like this. You're a free-born son of promise, free from the law. So embrace that freedom. Paul was telling them, embrace that freedom, love it, and live like a free man, free from the law. Okay, there's a context to that freedom. Live like it. So we want to take another quick look at the passage tonight and take to heart Paul's admonition, stand fast. Brothers and sisters, stand fast. And that means don't quit. Literally, stay where you are. And where were they in Paul's day? Well, they were, next part of the verse, they were living in the liberty wherewith Christ had made them free. They had been delivered from the curse of the law. That means eternal damnation, eternal spiritual death. They were delivered from that. They were set free from their condemnation. And they were set free from the task of trying to please God in their own godless flesh, which is impossible, right? That's impossible. You can't do it. And so they were free from that. But there were those who would diminish their faith. They've got faith totally in Jesus Christ. And there are those that come along, the Judaizers, we remember, that would diminish their faith in Christ by adding something to Christ, some other requirement for their salvation. The bondage that they're talking, it says, "And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." So Paul sort of pleads with them, you know, you're free, live like it, and don't let anybody confuse you, and don't let anybody diminish your faith in Christ. Stand fast. Don't quit. The bondage, of course, was associated with the requirement of circumcision. One brother says, for those who pursued it as a way of salvation, the law became a yoke of slavery. It was a slavery to them. Our entanglement has nothing to do with this context. We're not burdened about circumcision in our day. Our entanglement could be anything, really. Anything. Any pressure could come on our lives and cause us maybe to our faith to be diminished. Something that would enslave, maybe a false doctrine. You read a book, you watch a blog or something. You get involved in something and it's like a threat. There may be some obstacle, some hardship in life that just makes you want to throw in the towel and say, it's not worth it. It's not working. And your faith is diminished. Your faith in God's promises, whether they're temporal promises or promises for now in this life or promises for eternity. And if we allow anything to diminish our faith, I need to make that a stronger point. When our faith is tried, sometimes the problem that tries our faith, the circumstance of life. Maybe you get your eyes on the political realm right now. That's disgusting. And you just think, oh, what's the hope? And God and country is no more. You got to keep them separated because we don't recognize the country that we grew up in. And you have a tendency to think, well, where's the Lord in all this? Don't let any of those things diminish your faith in the Lord. God is still on the throne. Everything is still okay. He's in control. His plan is being worked out. It's going to turn out exactly like He promised. And if we allow some of those things to get into our life and in our mind and in our hearts, they will enslave us. They'll destroy our usefulness to the Lord. They will cancel our rewards. We won't do anything and there'll be no rewards, temporal or eternal. It'll steal away our peace and our joy. Circumstances of life can steal away our joy and take away that peace that passes understanding, all understanding. It'll make you want to quit. To those who might succumb to the temptation, in Paul's day, he says in verse 2, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." You need to understand, it's grace or works. It's never both, he tells them. Paul was not opposed to circumcision, though, but to circumcision as a requirement for salvation. He was opposed to that. Trusting in anything, any kind of work, cannot be part of salvation. That's legalism if we try to do that. To have confidence in works means that you don't have complete confidence in Christ. We have a diminished faith. If you start thinking, I have to do this to please God. No, Jesus Christ already pleased God for you in terms of your sins. Our faith can be diminished. But our faith is not supposed to be diminished. It's not supposed to shrink. Our faith should continually grow. We should trust God for more now than last week and last month and last year. Verse 3 says, "For I testify," Paul speaking, "for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he's a debtor to do the whole law." If you're trusting in your circumcision, he said, if you're trusting in this legal requirement for your salvation, then you got a lot more law that you got to keep too. If you want to be justified by keeping the law, there's a lot of law. And you'll have to stay busy to do just that. Every offense for every law, every offense would make you a lawbreaker. And as a lawbreaker, you would be condemned. And Paul had to get that across to them. This is the context of Galatians 5. The point is you can't be justified by keeping the law. And if you try, verse 4 says, "Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace." So this individual had heard the gospel. They had heard the gospel, but decided that Christ was not sufficient. And they needed to add their works. And if they did all of that, they would be okay with God. So the phrase "fallen from grace" means simply that they've turned their backs on Christ and the grace, the salvation that He adds to them by grace through faith. And his point here, I believe, about falling from grace is they were never really saved. Verse 5 says, For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We, that is those who have truly been saved, Paul, and Paul included the Galatians, who he has already called brethren, and us here tonight at Corinth Baptist Church. We already have the imputed righteousness of Christ. Our account is clean. God calls us righteous because Christ is righteous and we're in Christ. We already have the imputed righteousness of Christ, but still we wait, don't we, to wear the righteousness of Christ in the throne room of heaven, to stand before God declared righteous, sort of in a practical sense. Verse 6 says, "For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." So these Galatians had been taught that salvation is not by works, but it's by faith. And nothing that they could do or not do could in any way contribute to the finished work of Christ. It's already done for them. Anything other than continued faith, perseverance in faith, in the promises of Christ, is diminished faith in Christ. And that's the point I want us to pick out and apply to our own lives. Anything other than perfect confidence in God's ability to deliver. Anything other than perfect confidence and complete faith in our Lord is, for us, diminished faith. It's a diminished faith. And verse 7 says, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" Their spiritual lives had been on track and they were growing in grace and knowledge, but now their faith was challenged. And for some, maybe in danger of being diminished. He says in verse 7, "Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" The legalism was threatening to cause the believers not to live and walk by faith. Maybe some in Galatia were now tempted to quit, to just give up on it altogether, to abandon the faith. Now, again, circumcision is not the problem today, is it? We're not tempted by Judaistic laws at all. Those are not the things that might try to steal away a little of our faith and put it on something else. Circumcision is not that. But what might cause us to question our confidence in the Lord? I would tell you false doctrine. And maybe you feel like, and I pray that we all are, kind of beyond that, but I don't know that. People hear things. We were talking last night at the prayer time, at the men's prayer time. Brother Al heard something, and he said, "Have you ever heard of that before?" And I said, "Yeah, I have heard of it." And I forgot the context of where I heard it, and I need to look that up, and we need to talk again. But you hear things that, I don't know that that's true. Well, when you don't know if it's true, you need to search the Scriptures and find out, right? In particular, if it's something that's going to affect your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. False doctrines, political and social threats. We may have that. Maybe not so far out. We may have these types of things, obstacles and hardships. Or confidence in our political leaders, or maybe our fellow men. Sometimes these things just sort of get under the skin. They're irritating, and they irritate our faith too. These things might be used of the devil to diminish your faith in God's promises and enslave you and destroy your usefulness, to cancel your rewards, to steal your peace and your joy, and to make you just want to quit. I wonder, would you be honest with yourself? Have you ever just thought about quitting? Has it ever been that bad? Probably. You've had experiences where your faith seemed quite weak, and you wondered where God was. There may be more of those times. Maybe more of those issues, those doctrines, those obstacles, those hardships in our lives that really try our faith. And we need to be careful that we don't quit. Verse 8 says, "This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you." The doctrine of salvation by works is not of God. The doctrine of life apart from faith is not of God. Anything that requires you to quit believing, even a little bit, anything that requires you to quit believing or to diminish your faith somehow is not of God. God wants your faith to grow. The Bible says in verse 9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Notice the word little. A little thing that would cause a shift in one's confidence in the Lord and His promises was all that would be necessary to destroy the whole lump at Galatia or in Galatia. A little errant doctrine, false teaching, can destroy the whole church in a place. You and I refuse to quit. I hope I can maintain that. I refuse to quit. I refuse to quit because I am convinced that I have the truth. Convinced. And if we abandon the truth, there's no reason to keep going. I'm not going to quit. Verse 10, the last verse we'll look at. I have confidence, Paul says, in you through the Lord, that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. So Paul's confidence in the Galatians is in their connection with Jesus Christ. He believed that Christ would gather his wandering sheep and do for them all that he had promised to do. That, he says, I'm confident that ye will be none otherwise minded. They would not stop trusting. They would not stop obeying the truth. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgments, whosoever he be. Those who cause others not to trust God will stand before him in judgment, Paul says. So I'm making the point. My point is, there are things that could enter into our lives as good, godly, Christ-loving believers that would try to diminish our faith in Christ. And maybe to put a little more faith in ourselves or in our leaders or in our pastor or in our brothers and sisters in Christ. Faith that should be in the Lord to take care of this. We need to trust Him. So brothers and sisters of Corinth Baptist Church, don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit believing God. Keep on walking by faith. Your Christian life was started by faith. And you need to live it by faith, trusting the Lord for everything, every day, always. Please be reminded even daily that a little shift in your dependence could mess up everything. Total confidence in God. He is God. He is God. He can do anything. And we can do nothing without Him. Isn't that what John said? Keep on walking by faith. So this is our day. And like Paul in verse 10, I want to have confidence in you through the Lord that you are possessors of the truth. We get a lot of truth here. I mean, we preach the Bible and teach the Bible and sing the Word of God. We can be possessors of the truth. I want to have confidence that you have a desire to obey and to trust Him. Obey the truth. I want to have confidence that you won't quit or be otherwise minded, as it says here. Confidence that you will not quit. We will go to the last breath, trusting in our Lord, believing His promises. I want to have confidence that you will be mindful of those who are waiting and looking for just the right opportunity to cause you to doubt God a little bit and shift your dependence. And remember that the perpetrator may not be physical, may be spiritual. You believe in demons? You believe in a devil? He's a powerful angel, a powerful spirit. And he doesn't like anything that God likes. He hates God, and he hates you, and he hates me. And he's real. And he has lots of help. Lots of help. So watch for him. Be sober. Be vigilant. Be vigilant. Watching for him. These next couple of years, maybe. I sound like a prophet of doom all the time, I guess. Maybe. But I don't mean to be a prophet of doom. I only want us to be ready for what might happen. Only the Lord knows. It's my job to make us ready. So these years could prove to be the most trying years of our lives, really, making tonight a great time for you and me to recommit, even on a Wednesday night, just to recommit in our prayer time. Lord, I'm yours forever. I'm going to trust your word. I'm going to do it if I bleed. I'm going to trust your word, and I'm going to trust you, Lord, with my body and soul and spirit. When Queen Victoria of England, when she reigned as Empress of India, the Maharaja of Punjab was a little boy. He wanted to show his allegiance to the Queen, and he sent her a magnificent diamond from India. It became one of the crown jewels and was safely kept in the Tower of London. When he became a man, he went to London to pay his respects to the Queen. And the young man asked if he could see the diamond. And they produced the diamond, the precious jewel, brought right into his presence, the Indian prince. And he took the diamond and he knelt down on his knee before the Queen, and he said with deep emotion, he said, "Madam, I gave you this jewel when I was too young to know what I was doing. I want to give it again. I want to give it in the fullness of my strength. I want to give it with all my heart and affection, with all of my gratitude, now and forever, fully realizing all that I do." It was a rededication, a re-giving. There would be nothing wrong with us doing that, right? Giving ourselves to the Lord daily. Dying to ourselves. Say, "Lord, this is your day and I am yours. Use me however you will." Our faith should grow. Our faith in God. Our awareness of the fact that that is real. All of this other, it doesn't matter compared to that. That is the eternal reality, is God and the spirit realm in which you and I will live in our new glorified physical bodies. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, nor a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. But we never can prove the delight of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear. Only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So again, I urge you, don't quit. Don't let your faith be diminished. No matter what, the truth is eternal. It's not changed, nor has our God, the God of that truth. Keep on trusting and keep on obeying. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to share these thoughts. Lord, even this burden, perhaps. I pray that each of us tonight, Lord, in the quietness of a moment, would commit to you our lives fresh and new, to surrender our bodies, our wills to you, to forsake our own ambition, to abandon ourselves, and to be wholly yours. Father, I thank you that we can call you our God, our Father. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.